G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, have a look at Proverbs chapter 28. Amen. Proverbs 28, verse 20. Amen. Give me an oi when you're there. So a faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. So I want to talk about the power of a faithful life. I was going to call it the secret to getting promoted or how to receive promotion, but the power of a faithful life. So I want us to think a little bit about faithfulness. What does it mean? What does it look like? And then look at how it works and the fruit that it can produce. Hey, and this scripture says a faithful man will abound in blessings. You know, I looked up in the dictionary the word faithful, and the Merriam-Webster said that faithful is steadfast in affection or allegiance, firm in adherence to promises or in observance of duty, true to the facts or true to a standard or to an original. The Oxford Dictionary said remaining loyal and steadfast. Dictionary.com, which is an online dictionary, it said a strict or thorough performance of duty, being true to one's word, promises, being loyal, being constant. Hey, so when you're faithful, people believe what you say. When you're faithful, you're reliable and trustworthy. That people can count on it. It's just like, yep, I know so-and-so is going to do that because I know that's they've said that that's what they're going to do. When you're faithful, your boss doesn't need to check what time you clocked in. Your boss doesn't need to check what time you clocked off. He doesn't need to check how long you took for lunch. He doesn't even need to check the quality of your work. When you're faithful, come on, I mean, you guys know this, right? You just, if someone is faithful, you don't even need to check up on them. Anything that you just know, I don't have to worry about that. I can concentrate on this because that guy's faithful. When you're faithful, people can count on you, hey. When you're faithful, your responsibilities at home get done without being nagged or being reminded. Whatever it is that you know you're meant to do just gets done. You know, my phrase, it's like if I had to replace the word faithful with a phrase, and I guess I'd like you to think of it like this. Faithfulness really is just keep turning up. Just keep turning up. And when you just keep turning up, the scripture says the faithful shall abound in blessings. Hey, when you just keep turning up and doing what you're meant to do, you just keep turning up and doing the things that God's shown you to do, when you do that, you will find the blessings will chase you down. Hey, and they'll start overtaking you. That's the secret to promotion. That's the secret to increase in your life. Hey. Faithfulness, really, it's something that can only be seen over an extended period of time. It's not something you can see overnight or in a couple of days. It's something that over a period of time, if you watch, you're going to see. You know, I mean, it's just the nature of it. You know, like if just keep turning up was the measurement of faithfulness, and I believe it is, it's a measurement of faithfulness, well, you can't measure that in one day. You can't measure that in 2 days. You can't even measure it in a week or 2 weeks. To just keep turning up means that 3 months down the track, you're still turning up. You're still doing the things that you need to do. It means 6 months down the track, you're still turning up and you're doing the things that you know are right. in a year's time, you're still turning up. Whether it's sowing seed, whether it's God's told you to support someone or to minister to someone, you're turning up. You're just turning up. And so it's something that over a period of time, you will see whether someone is faithful. Hey, and sad to say, you know, many believers start well, but they don't end up finishing well. Hey, they'll start something with great enthusiasm, but then a week or two down the track, suddenly the cart starts to fall over and tip over because the wheels are falling off the cart. And they've got no stickability. Hey, and the stickability can only come through faithfulness. You know, it's wonderful when you get like a new house, like what we heard, you know, or when you get a new job. You know, it's wonderful when you get a new car. It's wonderful when you get that promotion or the thing that you were believing God for. But how are you at that job? Or how do you treat that car 6 months later? How are you with that promotion in a year's time? Because, you know, sad to say, even for believers, a lot of times they'll start with something and it's new and it's like exciting and they're so enthusiastic about it. But once the novelty's worn off, it's like, I'm bored, I hate this, you know. And, you know, like, look at, you know, it was like there was their new car and they were so happy because they didn't have a car before that. But then a year down the track, that piece of junk, you know. And you're neglecting the goodness of God and you're despising what he's provided for you in doing that. You believed for that job and you got that job. And a year down the track, you rubbish it and you despise it. That's not faithfulness, is it? And how can God promote you if you don't value what he's already given you? And part of that is just being faithful with what he has given you. Phil was talking about tithes and offerings. You can't increase unless you're faithful with a little. Jesus said that, and he was talking about finances. He said, whoever is faithful in a little will be faithful then in much. And then he said, if you're not faithful in what belongs to someone else, who will give you what belongs to you? And he was talking about money. The tithe doesn't belong to you. And when you're not faithful in what belongs to someone else, how can he give you what belongs to you? It just doesn't work, you know, it just doesn't happen. And so faithfulness, it's only visible over an extended period of time. Hey, there's just no shortcuts. In the kingdom of heaven, you can find shortcuts to beat the system on earth, but you cannot find shortcuts in the kingdom of heaven. There just aren't any, you know. I've actually got a message that I preached a while back, and it's called God's Fast Track to Success, right? And basically, God's fast track to success is just do what he told you to do. Just keep turning up and doing what he told you to do. Because you can't speed up the plan of God for your life, but you can sure slow it down. You can sure divert it right off course. God's got the fastest way for you to increase. He's got the fastest way for you to receive the manifestation of the healing. He's got the fastest way for you to be promoted. And you try to do anything else other than what he's showing you to do, you're just going to slow it down. His fast track is just be faithful. Just keep turning up. Just keep doing the things that I'm showing you to do. And there are just no shortcuts, hey? And really, you know, like, faithfulness is the key. You know, I hope you're seeing it as we're going, and certainly you will see it as we continue to go. It's the key to promotion in the kingdom of God. Have a look at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 and verse 45. Give me an oi when you're there. So this is in a very interesting chapter. In Matthew 24, Jesus was asked, tell us the signs of your coming. Tell us the signs of the end of the age. And Jesus is answering that. It's riveting stuff. And maybe if the Lord allows me to, sometime in the future, I might even share some thoughts from it. But here in the midst of it, he talks in verse 45, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, but you can follow it in yours. And he says, a faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. Everyone say, there will be a reward. So notice the reward comes when the master returns and finds the servant has done a good job. And he starts off, he's saying, this is the faithful servant. So there's reward when you're faithful. Hey. And he goes on in verse 47, I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all that he owns. But what if the servant is evil and thinks my master won't be back for a while? And he begins beating the other servants, partying and getting drunk. The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hey. So faithfulness is really one of the keys to promotion in the kingdom of God. In fact, you can do your own Bible study and you will see anytime you find someone faithful in the scriptures, you will find they get promoted. Hey, faithfulness is always connected with promotion. We're going to look at some scriptures in a moment. And so if you're believing for promotion, whether it's promotion in your workplace, it's promotion, maybe you've got a house and you'd like to go up a level and believe God for an even better house, you know, or maybe you've got a car and you believe in God for an even better car. Well, one of the keys to it is being faithful with what you have. Being faithful. Just keep turning up. Just keep doing the things that God's telling you to do. Hey, and when you do that, the scripture says the faithful abound in blessings. Hey, you know, there's two parables we're going to look at now. Actually, you can turn to Luke 19. We're going to look at the first one. And these two parables, for a long time, I thought they were the same parable, but they're not. They're really, really different. And both of them are connected with faithfulness. You know, there are two major divisions in the judgment of believers. You know, at the end of life as we know it, when Jesus returns, the believers will stand judgment. It's called the judgment seat of Christ, right? And that's not the same as the great white throne judgment, right? The judgment of believers occurs at least 1,000 years. Before the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment, I think it's in Revelation chapter 20, where it talks about how everybody will stand before the great white throne and God will open up the books and he will judge them according to their works that are written in these books and so on. You and I, as believers, will not stand that. Jesus himself said, you know, that whoever believes and trusts in him, he said this in John chapter 5, verse 24, he said, whoever believes in me will pass out of judgment. Hey, our sin has already been judged. But we will face judgment, and that's called the judgment seat of Christ, and that's 1,000 years, more than 1,000 years before the great white throne judgment. And when we face that judgment, there are a number of things that will happen. And these parables go into some detail. But I want to just kind of bring your attention. There are two major divisions to the judgment that you and I will face as believers when we stand before the Lord. One, the first judgment is he'll want to know, how did you develop the kingdom of God in you? How did you develop your relationship with God? How did you develop your relationship with the written word? How did you develop your understanding of the presence of God and moving in that presence of God? This is for your personal life. That's one major division, right? And the second major division is, how did you develop the kingdom of God in other people? Right? They're the two major divisions of judgment. There's much more detail in that. And I go into some detail. There's a series that I did on the Christian basics. This is part of just the Christian basics, right? And there's a series I did on Christian basics, and I talked about the resurrection of the dead, and I went in through a lot of scriptures on that and looked at eternal judgments and went through a lot of scriptures. And I think there was 3 or 4 parts that we did in those. And so you can, they're all on the website and you can have a look. But this is the two major judgments for every believer. What did you do with the kingdom of God in you? And what did you do, and how did you develop the kingdom of God as you ministered to others? Right? One has to do with your relationship with God and what it means to you personally. And the other one has to do with really how did you cooperate with him to let him flow through you to others. And we're going to look at these parables and you're going to see this. So Luke 19, you there yet? Verse 11. It says, "Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And so he called 10 of his servants and he delivered to them 10 minas. And he said to them, do business till I come." So a mina is, it's a measure of currency. From what I can understand, it's one mina was like about 3 months worth of wages. He had 10 servants and he gave out 10 minas. That means each servant got how much? They got one mina. Yep. If you got 10 bucks and you're going to give it to 10 people and you're going to share it equally, everybody gets $1. So that's what he did. Verse 14, it says, "But his citizens hated him and they sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. And then he came to the first saying, then came the first servant saying, master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And the master said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful." Everyone say faithful. I want to bring your attention to it. Faithfulness is the key to promotion. And the master said, "Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities." Wow. Verse 18, "And the second came saying, master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came saying, master, here is your mina, which I've kept away in a handkerchief, for I feared you because you are an austere man." In other words, you're a shrewd man. And he said, "You collect what you did not deposit and you reap what you did not sow." And the master said to him, "Out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew I was an austere man, did you? Collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that when I returned I might have collected it with interest?" And he said to those who stood by, "Take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas." But they said to him, "Master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." God is not into socialism. He is not into communism. He is not about let's share it all equally. He took the one mina from the guy that had the one mina and he gave it to the guy with 10. And in case anybody misunderstood, Jesus said, because I'm telling you the truth, everyone who's got, they'll get more. But the ones who don't have, even what they have, they'll get taken away. And there's a lot in that, hey, but I'm not going to go into that. And if it's kind of baffled you, good. Chew on it. Think about it. Some things are worthwhile chewing on. And particularly when God's bringing your attention to something from the Word, don't just let it go and go, oh, I don't get that, it's stupid. No, give the Word a bit more credibility and say, God, what does this mean? Give me understanding and just meditate and chew on it, and chew on it, and chew on it. And go back to it. Look at it from different translations. Think about it. And you find God will start opening it up to you. Hey. So in this parable, I want you to notice that the master had 10 minas and he gave the 10 servants. So he gave them one mina each. Everyone was given the same amount. Is that right? What does this represent? Remember, a parable is a picture. It's a picture of a spiritual truth. You can't sort of draw everything from a parable, but there are some major broad strokes that when Jesus told a parable that we can certainly glean. And so, okay, one of the things that's quite clear is every single servant, and if they're a servant, they belong to the household. Is that right? So the servants must represent believers. And so that every servant was given the same amount. What would that represent? What does every believer have that every other believer has? Can anybody tell me? Say again. The Holy Spirit? Yep, what else? Faith? Salvation? What were you going to say? You were going to say faith? Yep. Forgiveness. These are things that every one of us have. Is that right? You've been forgiven and released completely the same as every other believer has been forgiven and released. You've been given the Spirit of God. You don't have just half the Holy Spirit or 0.2 of the Holy Spirit. You've got the Holy Spirit in his entirety to dwell in you, the same as every believer has been given. You've been given the Word of God, the same as every other believer has been given. You've been given the presence of God. You have a relationship with Christ. Right? So what we're looking at is, what is it that the servants received? You're a servant, and you've received, just like every other servant, one mina, and that mina is the Word of God. That mina is the presence of God. That mina is the faith of Christ. You have the same faith that Jesus had. Hey, you can study that out in the scriptures, all right? You have the same faith. You might be saying, well, I can't do anything near what Jesus did. It just means you haven't learned how to release that. But you've got it. You're not waiting to get more faith. When the disciples asked Jesus, increase our faith, he didn't say, boys, you can't do what I'm doing, hey. Some of these big, black, hairy demons, he said, you can't handle that. Only the Son of God can handle that. No. When they said increase our faith, he just said, you know, if you just had faith this big, you just plant it like a seed. And he's not talking about your faith growing, he's talking about the flow of faith growing. You're learning how to release what you've already got. You've got the same faith, the faith of Christ. And so every one of us has got the same amount. So this parable is all about, what are you going to do with what you've been given? You can't say, well, you know, they got more than me. No, every believer has been given the same amount. This reveals the judgment seat of Christ and what's going to happen when we stand before God, because he says the master will return and the servants will be called, and one servant comes and says, you know that mina you gave me? I made it into 10. And another servant will come and he says, you know that mina you gave me? I turned it into 5. So notice, different servants had a different amount of return. And you'll see that amongst believers. There's some believers that'll take the word and they'll just take it and they'll take it and they'll take it and they'll start extracting things from it because God is just opening it up to them because they love it. They just value it so much. They just can't get enough. There's some people that value the presence of God. And they will not do anything to dishonor him. They will not do anything to try to take away from the presence of God. And so that begins to grow in their life. That presence begins to develop more and more. There's some people that value the voice of God in their life, and so they develop that, and it starts to become clearer and clearer. There's some people that want to understand how to flow in faith. Everybody has the same amount of these, but what we do with it, and this parable brings out, what we do with it will differ. Some servants will multiply more. And so notice that if you did more with what you got, you were rewarded with more. What did the guy that made it into 10 meters, what did he get? 10 cities. You know, faithfulness is always rewarded with authority in the kingdom I'm talking about. When you are faithful, when you just keep turning up, God says, I can count on you. You just keep turning up. And so he will move you to another level of authority, hey? Right? I've seen this in my own life, definitely. My authority as I minister to others, my authority as I preach the word, my authority in my own life. It's not like God's trying to hold anything back. He wants us to have that authority. We are sons of God, and that's a gender neutral term. We're sons of God. He made us to rule and reign with him. He desperately wants us to grow up into that sonship, so that he can release greater levels of authority. And so even though different servants, they produced different things, they were then rewarded with differing amounts, hey? And so faithfulness was a real key. What you do with your relationship with God will determine how well you are rewarded. What you do with the Word of God. Is it just a book that you read when you got time? Or is it something far more valuable to you? What you do with the voice of God in your life. What you do with your faith. If you want to see that flow of faith grow, Jesus said, plant it like a seed. Nurture it. Water it. And it will grow. Look for opportunities to exercise your faith. You know, when you look for those opportunities and you exercise your faith, stay on it and stay on it. We had an awesome God story this morning of people that stayed on it. Hey, even though the circumstance didn't look great. So now let's go to another parable in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25 and verse 14. Give me an oi when you're there. Now this is the parable of the talents, and for a long, long time I thought this was the same as the one we just read. There was so much overlapping that was in it. And we're going to read it together, and maybe you've thought it as well. But this actually reveals the other division of judgment for believers. So the one we read, the parable of the minas, is the judgment that you and I will face with what did you do with that relationship with God? What did you do with developing the kingdom in you? What did you do with my presence? What did you do with my word? What did you do with my Holy Spirit? How did you develop that? This one we're going to read, you're going to see, has got to do more with what did you do with the kingdom of God in ministering to others, hey? Ministering beyond yourself. So Matthew 25, verse 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things.'" Everyone say faithful. Notice that word faithful appearing. "You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered him and said, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would receive back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" So there's a number of things that are there. I guess just off the bat, straight off, that I can see just in verse 30, "cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness" answers the question, can a Christian lose their salvation? You know, he's a servant. He belongs to the household. But he was cast into outer darkness. Hey, it is possible for a Christian to lose their salvation. And I don't want to go into a huge amount of detail in there, but the scriptures are quite clear on that. It's nothing that you and I need to be in fear and trepidation over. God doesn't want you to go to hell if you don't want to go to hell. But he's not going to force someone to come into heaven that doesn't want to be there. Hey, and really, you know, like if you're If you're not interested in the things of the kingdom of God, if they're not a priority in your life, well, then there's some indication there. Well, maybe there's maybe that's not where you want to go. Maybe that's not where you want to be. Hey, and there's a difference between that. I mean, there's some people that are just young in their faith and they're still developing and growing and they're doing things that are not right. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, like you just keep growing, keep doing the things that God wants you to do. There's a big difference between that and someone who knows what they need to be doing. They know that God's speaking to them, but they're just resisting and not doing it. That's when you're in danger. Hey, really, there are two things, two danger signals in your life that you are skating on thin ice and you are going the wrong way, right? One is rebellion and one is idolatry, right? Rebellion is when you refuse, when you know what God is saying and you refuse to do it. You can dress it any way you like. Some people say, well, that's my problem. No, it's not a problem. That's rebellion, right? And idolatry is when you love something more than your love for God and you're not willing to forsake it. God cannot bless. He cannot bless whatever it is you're doing if you are not prepared to put it on the altar. Hey, whether that's to do with finances, a job. Some people won't give up a job because, like, I kind of feel like God's talking to me about this, but like, what am I going to do for money? See, your job's become your source. Hey, for some people, it's a relationship. No, I don't want to hear what God has to say about this. I'll do whatever you want, God, but if you tell me to leave this person, I ain't doing it. That's idolatry. God can't bless it. And so anyway, there's a whole other thing. We want to get back to talking about faithfulness, but I just wanted to just kind of touch on that it is possible, you know, like, and they're the two big warning signs. If there are things in your life that excite you far more than your relationship with Christ, you're bordering on idolatry if you're not already full-fledged into idolatry. And if there are things that you're aware of that God has been speaking to you about and you're not willing to do it, well, then you're moving into rebellion, all right? And they're warning signs that God puts up to tell us, you're going the wrong way. Don't go that way. Hallelujah. But notice in this parable, every servant was given a different amount. Did you notice that? One was given five, one was given two, one was given one. That's so different to the minas. In the minas, everyone got the same. And here it says they were given different amounts, each one according to his ability. What does this represent? The minas, we know, represents what God has given to every one of us. But what is it that every believer has that's different from other believers? It's your call. Is that right? Everyone's call is different. And the call that he's put on your life is different to the call that he's put on your life and the call that he's put on my life. It's a different call. He's called us to do different things. And the call that he's put on your life is according to the ability or the gifts that he's given you. You didn't choose what gifts to have, and you didn't choose what call to get. You have no choice in that. Now, to me, this is not bad news. This is great news. Because this parable really reveals some very, very exciting truths. That if you do what God has called you to do, you will be rewarded just as much as anybody else who does what God has called them to do. God might have called you to be a bookkeeper. And you might be thinking, well, you know, I'm just a bookkeeper. I'm not even an accountant. I mean, I just use this software and I keep the books. Like, what's the good of that? But if he's called you to do that, he's given you abilities to do that, and if you do that, what this parable brings out is you will be rewarded just as much as Reinhard Bonnke, who was called to be an evangelist. Because the different talents were given to different ones, different amounts, each according to their ability. Now, let's look at it so you can see that it's not just me just kind of trying to extract things or bend things. If you look at verse 20, it says, so he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I've gained five more talents besides them. So This is five talents. That's the maximum. Let's say it's someone like Reinhard Bonnke or someone like Kenneth Copeland, who's got like a daily TV program. And, you know, and he's on the radio. He's on like thousands of radio broadcasts and he's on TV all around the world. And you kind of look at them and you think, man, I can't compete with that. I'm just a bookkeeper. What am I going to do? You know, like I tithe and I give and I'm supporting some ministries and I'm doing the best that I can, but it's only like $100 a month. It's like, what, you know, like that's the best that I can do. And you might be thinking like, well, how's that going to keep up with Kenneth Copeland? How's he going to keep up with Reinhard Bonnke? So look, the five talents is like Reinhard Bonnke. All right. And he says, look at the five talents you gave me. I've made five more. Now look at what the Lord says in verse 21. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Well, that would be awesome to hear. Is that right? And I think we'd all agree. Yeah, probably Kenneth Copeland would get that. Reinhard Bonnke is going to get that. Where Jesus is going to say, well done. You were faithful over what I gave you. Enter into the joy of your Lord. But what if you're a guy not with five talents? What if you're a guy with two talents? Let's have a read. Verse 22, it says, he also who had received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I was just a bookkeeper, but I gained two more besides them. His Lord said to him, now I want you to look at what Jesus says to the guy with the two talents. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Can you see the difference? Can you see what he said? That was different to the first guy? There is none, is there? There, if you can see a difference, come and show me. Because it's exactly the same. The guy with the five talents, the Reinhard Bonnke, that said, Lord, you gave me these talents and these gifts, this ability to preach, this ability to attract a crowd, these gifts of the Spirit that I move in. I took those talents and I made them into five more talents. And Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And then along comes you and you go, well, Lord, I was just a bookkeeper, but I know that that's what you called me to do. And you gave me two talents. Look, I made two more. And what does he say? He says exactly the same thing as what he will say to Reinhard Bonnke. Exactly the same thing as, you don't have to be a Kenneth Copeland to get the big rewards. You don't have to have a daily TV program. You don't have to be on the radio in 300 nations in order to get the reward. You just have to do what God's called you to do. I think that's wonderful. Just keep turning up. Just keep turning up. Just keep doing what God's... You might be thinking like, well, you know, I don't have that much. It was given according to what he decided, not according to what you decided. You can multiply what he's given, but there's a limit. If you weren't called to operate at the international level, you probably won't get there. Especially if you were called, you know, and there are some people that are called, that are gifted and talented. God has gifted them and talented them and called them to work one-on-one with people. And they're exceptional at it. Give them a microphone, it's like, what? You know, and it's all of a sudden they start to sweat. They're not as gifted in doing that. Then there's others, you know, that are called to minister to groups, small groups. And they may be able to develop that and get some bigger groups. But don't despise the gifts and callings of God. He's given you gifts. He's given you callings. But notice this parable is different to the first one. The first one, everyone got the same. And they developed it to differing abilities. And they were rewarded with different rewards. That's what are you doing with what God's put in you that every other believer's got? You can actually be rewarded with, what these parables show is that you can actually be rewarded even more highly than someone who's been on TV every day. Because if you took what God put in you, and you value that relationship with God, and you turn that 1 meter into 10 meters, you're going to have authority over 10 cities. And that person who's on TV, They might have had amazing broadcasts, but if they never developed that relationship with God and their one mina, they turned into three minas, well, they'll still be rewarded, but it won't be as great as the reward that you got. But I want you to notice in both cases, whether it's to do with your relationship with God or what are you doing and allowing God to work through you into others, the key to promotion is faithfulness. Hey, in both cases, it was the faithful servants that got rewarded and got acknowledged. Hey, and so faithfulness is a key. You want to hear the Lord saying to you, well done, good and faithful servant. I think that would be an awesome thing. You know, isn't it interesting? You know, like, I mean, there's a lot of things that Jesus could have said, but to say good, well done, good and faithful servant, what does that indicate? That indicates faithfulness is highly regarded in heaven. Highly regarded. See, there's some people that'll put their hand up and say, we can help out around the church. We can do this, we can do that. And after 3 weeks, it's like you don't see them. See, it's faithfulness. It's turning up. Just keep turning up. Just keep doing what you know God's put on your heart to do. That's what's highly regarded in the kingdom of heaven. Hey, faithfulness really is God-likeness. Hey, a faithful person is a godly person. Why do I say that? Well, isn't God faithful? So when you're faithful, you're like God. A faithful person is a godly person, hey? And it brings you into greater intimacy with God. You don't have to turn there, but I'll just read a scripture out just to establish that. In Numbers chapter 12, when God is speaking, he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. But not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings." What does that indicate? It indicates that as you are faithful, when you just keep turning up and doing the things that you know are right, that you know that God has told you to do, as you keep doing that, it draws you into his presence. Faithfulness will bring you into levels of intimacy with God you'll never ever get without being faithful. God's not looking at the sprinter who starts off like amazing and is just outperforming everybody, but then it's like a month later, they're doing nothing. We understand the scripture talks about this life is a marathon. Is that right? We've got to pace ourselves. Who cares if you're the brightest star in the sky, if you're just a shooting star? And then you just disappear. But it's about allowing our light to shine and being consistent, learning the disciplines. And these things take time. They take time. You know, it's when the novelty's worn off in doing something, it's not easy to keep doing it. But that's where the growth occurs. The promotion comes later. But you have to grow first. God will never promote you to a level. Whenever he brings promotion, he's already prepared you for that next level. And God loves you too much to ever promote you to a level where you are guaranteed to fail. You might desire that level. It's like, God, I really want that level. I really want that level. I want to operate at that level. But you got to be faithful. Wherever you are, be faithful. Keep showing up. Keep developing your relationship with God. Keep looking for opportunities to minister to others. And as you're faithful, the promotion will come. And here's the good news. When you get promoted, it's because God's saying, you can do this. I've prepared you to succeed at this new level. You don't have to worry like, oh man, have I got the goods? Can I do this? No. With promotion from God comes the ability and the anointing to do that. Hallelujah. Did you get something out of it today? I have an awesome God story I want to share with you just kind of to illustrate faithfulness. But, you know, like we heard a God story this morning even from Janice and Zoe. And I want to share a little bit of it because this is being recorded and it's going to be on the website. It's a great picture of faithfulness because they were in a situation where they needed a house. That they weren't just choosing to move. They were told, you need to move. We need to sell this house. You need to move. And they had desires in their heart of that they wanted to move into the Springwood area. They felt that. But, you know, when they looked, there were cheaper houses in other areas that were further away. And I remember Janice and I talked and I said, don't compromise. Well, this is so important. This is a word of God for someone, hey? Don't compromise. Yes, so many Christians never get what God really wanted to give them because they just settle for something. Now, hold that in balance. You don't want to be like a spoiled brat where you're just ungrateful for everything. Be grateful and rejoice and be thankful for everything that God gives you. But God puts dreams and desires in your heart and you can believe for those things. And I, you know, like I just encouraged her. I said, you know, like with your family, I said, you guys pray together, believe together. I said, but don't compromise. Don't settle for something, you know, like that's further away. If you really feel drawn to move into this area, then keep it there. I said, God can afford it. He can do it, you know. And like, oh, there's so much I could share. But anyway, they really began to move with that. And then they found this place and it was their dream place. It was like over and above everything that they wanted. All the things that they wanted as a bare minimum, well, this just exceeded it in every way. The problem is they said no pets and they have a zoo. And so they applied, you know, and it came back in a very short amount of time. No, your application's been denied. But they couldn't let it go. There was something about this. It's just like God, you know, like for Janice, it was like every time she looked elsewhere, it's as if the Lord was saying, don't go there. You don't need to go check that out. You know, and she's thinking, well, what do? We need to move. And for Zoe, it's just like this one morning she gets up and it's just like, that's our house. She didn't see a vision of three angels saying, singing in melody, saying, Dad is your house. You know, she didn't have someone random come and prophesy to her, that's your house, says the Lord, you know. But she woke up with this thought. And she wasn't thinking even about it. It's just like, I just kind of feel like that's our house. We're meant to be there, but what do you do when you've been denied? See, these are important concepts because many, many times in life, we get into situations where the circumstance looks completely ridiculous compared to where we feel God wants us to go. What are you going to do? You're just going to, well, I guess, under the circumstances, I mean, I was believing to go there, but like, what can you do? No, you hold on. You keep turning up. You keep doing the things that you know God's told you to do. And for them, they had to encourage one another because the temptation to give up and kind of just get down in the dumps was great. And they were saying, no, we got this. We got this. God's got this. He's got an awesome place for us. And then Zoe started saying, Mum, that's our place. And Janice is thinking, oh, because she understood some things about the power of your words. So she didn't want to say, yeah, but they denied us. But she's thinking that, but she's not saying it. That's a good thing. And Zoe's saying, no, I'm not letting go, Mum. That's our place. That's where we're meant to be. They just kept turning up, encouraging one another, building one another up. But I think they were rejected three times because they applied again and there was someone else that had also applied. That person was given it. They were rejected. But they kept at it. They wouldn't let it go. Three times they were rejected. I know for a lot of believers, they just go, well, come on, be real. Let's be realistic here. Hey, obviously we're not meant to have that house. And that's when you're going to miss the miracle, hey? Just keep turning up. Keep holding on to that promise that God gave you, that dream that he put in your heart. And finally, you know, they saw the house, relisted after they'd been denied three times, listed again. They go, it's back on the market. It's back. It's available again. They go, what do? We've already applied three times. And they got it. Hey, the faithful abound in blessings. I wonder how many believers have missed their breakthrough, their promotion, their provision, their miracle, because they just stopped turning up. And really important, when you're believing for something, don't act like some old crab. Hey, it's just like, God, I'm believing you. Oh, get out of my way, you idiot. You know, and you're on the road and you don't have any patience with people and you just can't, don't talk to me, you know, like, it's like, hey God, you know I'm believing you for this. Like, get out, you know, don't disturb me, I'm busy now and stuff. Like, don't be like that. That's not faithful, hey? To show up, to keep turning up means that you are gracious, you are compassionate, you are full of mercy to others who maybe don't know any better, hey? You can destroy your own harvest by just being so just so difficult to get along with while you're believing God for your dream. So I want to finish with this, my God story, hey? Last year, in December last year, I had a number of things over a period of about a month, some strange things happening in my body. And so I prayed about it and I felt in my heart to go and see a doctor. And so I went to the doctor and talked to her and she said, well, we need to run some blood tests and we'll see what's going on. And so she ordered some blood tests. And she said to me, oh, it's going to take about a week to get these tests back. So make an appointment for in a week's time and we'll sit down and have a chat about it. I said, all right, you know, so finished with her. I went to the thing, made an appointment for the following week. Didn't think anything of it. Went home. The next morning, I got a call from the doctor's office. And the lady said, look, I'm just calling. The doctor needs to see you urgently. It's to do with your blood tests. And I said, well, I've got a few things on this morning. And she said, look, the doctor is completely booked today. But she said, this is urgent. She said, you need to get here as soon as you're able. She said, you give me a time and I will move other patients to other times to fit you in. What time can you get here? And I'm thinking like, wow. I thought it was like a week, you know. So, you know, I gave them a time and I got there. And sure enough, they just took me straight in and she got out the blood test results. And the long and short of it is that she diagnosed me with diabetes. She said, you've got diabetes. And, you know, sort of... So there was this one thing that they measure in your blood called hemoglobin A1C. And a normal level for hemoglobin A1C is 5.7. Right? If it gets to 6.5, you are diabetic. Right? So there's not a lot of room to move. You've got to keep it 5.7 or lower. If it goes even less than 1 point higher, goes to 6.5, you're diabetic. And for most people, they can keep it 5.7 or lower. Mine wasn't just 6.5. Mine was 12.6. It was just like off the scale. So she said, we need to run some other tests and just kind of get a hold of this, you know, and stuff. Yeah, the normal was 5.7. 6.5, if it got as high as 6.5, you were classed as diabetic. Mine was 12.6. So that's why it was like, this is urgent. I mean, like, you think there's only that much room to go from normal to diabetic, and mine was just like blown right out. So she wanted to do another test, a blood glucose test. It's not quite as accurate as the hemoglobin, but she just wanted to get a feel of where I'm at. So now with this test, a normal blood glucose is below 7. If you get less than 7, you're fine. You know, that's normal. If it gets 10 to 12, that's regarded as dangerous. In fact, if it gets higher than 13, you are told go to the hospital, right? Mine was 23. So she said to me, she said, we need to make some urgent changes. We need to turn some things around. Now, diabetes, on the Diabetes Australia website, it says it's an incurable, lifelong condition. It's a disease. You can never get rid of it. And generally, there are strategies you can use to manage it. But ultimately, it's something that gets worse and worse and worse. And they put you on medication, and that medication increases more and more and more. So she gave me these tablets. She said, look, you're going to feel sick. You're going to feel like vomiting, but you've got to push through it. She said, take one a day for a couple of days, and then once you get over the sickness, get it up to 2. And she says, then once you get used to that, get it up to 3. And then when you get used to that, get it up to 4. She said, you can't have more than 4 a day. It's dangerous. She said, but you need to take 4 a day. She said, but there's other things we need to do. And she said, this is really serious. I need to see you every week. And we need to keep a handle on this. So this level of, like, this blood glucose of 23, if it's generally like 15 or 16, which is, you know, it's a hospital situation, if it's 15 or 16, it can take 2 to 3 months to bring it down. Mine was 23, so I wasn't sure how long it was going to take in the natural, you know. Anyway, I went home, and I really felt like the Lord was saying, don't panic. He said, I knew this was happening. I'm the one that told you to go. He said, don't panic. He said, if you listen to me, I'll show you a way. And he actually said to me, he said, if you listen to me, I'll show you a way where I'll set you free from this. And so he began to talk to me about what I was eating and about adjusting certain things that I was eating and stuff. With the medication, I got up to 2 tablets and he said, don't take any more than 2. And so I just began to take 2. Within 2 weeks, it went down from 23 to 7. And so, you know, the doctor, I went and saw the doctor and she was like astounded. She goes like, wow. She goes, what are you doing? And I said to her when she diagnosed me with diabetics, I said, you watch and see. I said, God's going to heal me. Now, she's a believer, but like she also sees the results. And she's like, I could see in her face, she's going, okay. But she's thinking like, well, no, this is like full blown. Like you're like diabetes black belt 5th Dan or something, you know. Like. So, you know, and she said, well, look, this is really good. She said that has come down and it's come down to a normal level. She said, but your hemoglobin is the more important one. And she said, that's 12.6. And she said, the blood test that I've ordered is a very expensive test. And she said, you can only do it every few months. She said, I can't order another one. She said, just do the best that you can and we're just going to have to monitor that and see where you're up to. So anyway, I'd sort of forgotten about it because God was telling me what to do and I could see that my levels, what I could see, had come down and stuff. So I went to the USA and I just carried on with life. And then coming up, I'm going to PNG shortly. And so in preparation for that, the guy who's taking me in, he said, you need some tablets for malaria, you know, protect yourself from malaria. He said, it's only stuff that can be prescribed. You've got to go see a doctor. So I made an appointment and I thought, well, I've got to go see her for these malaria tablets. I might as well go get that blood test that she was asking me to get after a few months. And so I got the blood test and I went in to see her and she sat me down. She thought that I was coming in for the blood test because she didn't know about the malaria tablets that I needed. So she had a look and she looked at the screen and she looked at me and she said, you are no longer a diabetic. The level had dropped below 6.5. And she said, this is remarkable. Because there is no cure in the natural for diabetes. Hey, that once your level is 6.5 or higher, you'll never ever get it down. But they don't know Jesus, do they? Hey. But the thing I wanted to really accentuate through this God story, it was a wonderful thing to hear that she said, you are no longer diabetic, you know. But I was expecting her to say that, and I'd been expecting her to say that for months because I actually said to her, I said, you watch. I said, God's going to heal me. I said, I'm believing God for a total restoration from this, that I won't need to be on any medication. And then I told her the story. I said, I've actually been off that medication for months. And she's thinking, like, well, how's this happening? Well, she knows. I mean, she's a believer, and she knows that, you know, nothing's impossible. But, you know, there was a period. It was a period of 6 months. And I just had to keep showing up, just keep turning up, just being faithful. This is what you've said, God. I don't care what my body's saying. I don't care what the blood tests are saying. I don't care what the doctors are saying. And I'm not despising any of them. I'm not trying to criticize them. But you've told me that by your wounds I was healed. You said to me that you've healed all my diseases. So that's what I put first. And I kept showing up. And I just kept showing up. It's the faithful that abound in blessings. You just got to keep showing up. You know, the Holy Spirit is saying to people this morning, don't limit me. Don't limit me. What are the things in your life that you have allowed to creep in and become a barrier to you believing God for better? Take the limits off. Stop limiting God. Just because the financial expert said this is all you can earn, it doesn't mean that's all you can earn. Just because the medical experts have said, well, this is a natural thing for people in your family, this is hereditary and you're going to have this and stuff, you don't have to stay with that. Take the limits off. It could be that you're part of a family lineage and no one's ever moved in this direction or ever succeeded in this direction, and yet God's leading you in that direction. Take the limits off. But a key is keep turning up. Be faithful, because the faithful abound in blessings. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Hallelujah.